of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. We sort of got started in chapter 4 last Sunday, and we're looking at what is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. And this was a parable that was told by the Lord Jesus Christ as he was teaching a great multitude by the Sea of Galilee. And the parable is actually given in verses 3 through 8. And we read those verses last Sunday, but just for the sake of refreshing our memory, I think we're going to read those verses again, and then we'll move on in the chapter and eventually look at the Lord's explanation of this parable. But in verse 3, Jesus says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Now that's the parable, and Jesus concludes by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the idea is that if you got ears that are able to hear and understand, then you need to hear and understand this parable. But it says in verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." That's a strange statement. It says, "And when he was alone," but clearly there were people there. The idea has got to be that he's alone in the sense that he's not surrounded by this great multitude of people like he had been. He is now alone just with his 12 disciples and a few other people. And while in this position of being alone with his disciples and these people, they ask of him the parable. They wanted an explanation of what the parable meant. "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." The Lord taught a lot about the kingdom of God, and there's different applications that you can make to the kingdom of God. Obviously, there is the spiritual kingdom that a person is placed in or becomes a part of when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, the spiritual kingdom of God. There's the heavenly kingdom of God as well. Paul says that the Lord would deliver him unto his heavenly kingdom. That's going to be in heaven, the third heaven where the Lord is. But then there is the earthly kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ will once again be down here reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you have different applications in the Bible to the kingdom of God. And he says to them here, "It is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." When you read that, it sort of sounds like there's people that the Lord doesn't want to get saved, doesn't it? Well, when you read that, look at it again. Y'all look at the Bible. It says, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." It almost seems like he's saying there's some people here that I don't want to understand the truth. I don't want them to perceive it. I don't want them to see it. I don't want them to get it. I don't want them to be converted where they can have their sins forgiven. That's what it seems to be saying. The thing about interpreting the Bible is that you need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. You need to compare Scripture with Scripture, like I've told you. And you need to interpret a passage of Scripture by fundamental Bible truth that you know to be absolute. Like, for example, this idea that there's some people God doesn't want to be converted or be saved. Doesn't the Bible say very clearly and very plainly that God will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth? Know what it says? So how many people does he want to get saved? He'll have all men to be saved, and not just be saved, but to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then doesn't the Bible say that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Now that's fundamental Bible truth that we know to be absolute. That's very clear, right? So in my opinion, what you need to do when you come across a passage like this is you need to interpret this passage in light of those passages that are very, very clear in what they teach. And so I'm going to interpret this based on what I know, and what I know to be truth is that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to get saved and everybody to understand the truth. That's what the Bible says. And then I'm going to compare Scripture with Scripture to try to find out what is actually being said. I want you to hold your place here and go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, you have Matthew's account of this same parable that we're studying in the Gospel of Mark. You remember how I've told you so many times before that when you're reading through the Gospels especially, that it's important that you look at each one of the Gospels and what they say about a particular event or something that the Lord Jesus said or something that he did. Now, not everyone is recorded in every Gospel. We understand that. But there are some of these things, like this parable right here, that you find in three out of the four Gospels. And to get a complete understanding of this parable, what do you need to do? Just read one of those? Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? You need to read all three of them and compare Scripture with Scripture, and it'll help give you some light, some understanding of what the Lord is teaching here. Matthew chapter 13, you see beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 8 that he gives this same parable. And then when you come to verse 13, look at it. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now why is it that they don't see, and why is it that they don't hear? They heard in that it came into their ears, and they heard the words he said, but they didn't hear it in the sense of getting it, okay? But why did they see not? Why did they hear not? Neither do they understand. Why was that? Well, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which is Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Do you see that? Now, you don't get that information over in Mark's gospel or in Luke, so it's important that you compare Scripture with Scripture. What does it say there about these people? Their eyes they have closed. So why wasn't they getting it? Was it just because God didn't care about them? He just wanted all of them to go to hell, and I don't care about that bunch, and they just, was that it?
They already rejected it.
Yeah, they were given opportunity like others, but they just closed their eyes to it. They didn't accept the truth that had been given, and that was the problem. And that is a great problem with a lot of people today. The reason why a lot of people today are in the shape they're in is because they've had opportunity to hear the truth. It's not that they haven't ever heard it. God had never given them a chance. They've heard it. They just didn't accept what they heard. They turned a deaf ear to what they were hearing and ignored what God had to say. And when you begin to ignore God, you know what he'll do? He'll just ignore you. That's exactly right. If you decide that you don't think you need what God has to say and that, you know, you're in charge of your life and I got all this figured out, or what he says really ain't important, or when you just ignore God, well, okay, then God will just ignore you. And he won't give you enlightenment that you could otherwise have if you were willing to accept what he gave to you, what he said to you. It's important. I've said to people many times, this idea of you come to church and you sit and you listen and you sit and you listen and you go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you hearing truth and hearing truth and hearing truth and hearing truth, and you know that God's dealing with you and speaking to you and trying to show you stuff, but for whatever reason you just ignore that and slough it off and act like it isn't important, and then get up and go out and think that there's not going to be any repercussion or any consequence of that, you are crazy if that's what you think. Every single time that you hear the truth, you are responsible to God to respond in the right way to that truth. And when you don't respond, then you're headed down a road to where you could just be completely blinded and deceived and misled, and the truth mean nothing to you, absolutely nothing. And just get to the point to where when you hear truth, it just rolls off you like water off a duck's back. Just nothing. Nothing at all. The way I believe the thing works is when you hear the truth, if you accept the truth, then God will give you more truth. But if you reject the truth, then he'll give you less truth until the point where he may not give you any more truth at all. Let me show you something here. Look back at that thing in Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13:11. Y'all there? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. But you know why he has? I mean, if you keep these things into context, the reason why he has, it says whosoever hath, it's because he accepted what was given to him. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He's been given something and he accepted it, so God gives him more. But, look at it. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, why does he not have? Because he didn't get it? Because it wasn't ever given to him? No, he just didn't accept it. He didn't accept it when it was given to him. So he doesn't have. And look, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. That's pretty serious business if you get to thinking about it. If you want God to show you more truth, maybe you need to accept the truth he's already showed you. Amen. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians with me for a moment. These people, I don't understand why I don't ever hear anything different. Maybe you're dull of hearing. Maybe your eyes, you've closed so many times that now you're just blinded and deaf, spiritually speaking, just blinded and deaf. And instead of God giving you more, he's taken away from you what he'd already given. Well, that's rough. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I realize that what we're fixing to read is in the context of the tribulation when the Antichrist is here, but there's a principle that I think you can apply to any dispensation of time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It doesn't say they didn't get the truth, does it? It says they received not the love of the truth, so they rejected it. Look at verse 11. And for this cause, what cause? What cause? What's the cause? Because they rejected what was given to them. And for this cause, God shall send them. It didn't say the devil would send it to them. It said God would send it to them, didn't it? Y'all reading that in your Bible? And God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a bunch of people who got the truth, but they didn't want it. So God gave them what they wanted. Listen, if you don't want the truth, do you know what? I mean, this is the way it's got to be. If you don't want the truth, then you know what you want? Right? I mean, obviously, if you want the truth, then you accept the truth. If you don't want the truth, then you want a lie. You want something that is not the truth. You got truth, you got lie. Okay, you're given truth. Well, I don't want that. I don't like that truth. It bothers me, that truth. It just doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that. I don't like what God has to say about me or about a whole lot of things. So I don't want that. Well, you know what you've just said? You've just said that what you want is a lie. And you know what God will do? After so long of you saying, I don't want the truth, he'll give you what you want. He'll give you a lie. That's what he just said. God will send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. You know what Paul says to Timothy over there in chapter 4? He tells him to preach the word. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And it says they will turn their ears away from what? The truth. And be turned unto fables. What's a fable? It's a lie. It's just something that's made up. It's not true. That's what most people want. They don't want the truth. They want something that's made up, that's not right. It's a lie. And so you know what God allows to happen? He allows, just for the sake of illustration, right here in this country, thousands upon thousands of ungodly preachers standing up telling lies Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know what he's doing? He's giving those people what they say they want. They don't want the truth. If they wanted the truth, you know what they do? They'd go to a church where they could get the truth. That's where they go. They don't want it. And because they don't want it, they'd say, well, I'm going to go over here because I like what this fella's saying better. So God raises up all of these thousands of preachers around this country right here. We're not talking about other parts of the world, just right here in this country. Most of them probably ain't even saved. If they are saved, their message is just as much a lie as anything you ever heard in your life. And they preach it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and then people just sit out there like a sponge and soak it up. God's given them what they've said they want.
Right.
They wanted a lie, he's giving it to them. If you don't want God and you don't want what God has to say, then you know what he'll do? He'll just let you alone and let you have what you want. Don't you remember the story in the Old Testament of when Israel wanted a king and God didn't want them to have a king? God wanted to be their king, but they didn't want him. Samuel got all upset about it, and God said to Samuel, he said, look, they haven't rejected you. They don't need for you to take it personally. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. But you know what he said? He said, you just go on and give them a king. He didn't say, well, you know, I know what's best, and they don't want a king or don't want me, but I'm going to go ahead and just superimpose my will over theirs, and I'm going to be there. No, he said, look, they don't want me. Okay, I'll give them what they do want. Let me tell you something. What we're talking about here is a very dangerous, serious thing. It's not something to be sloughed off. Because the last thing you need in your life is for God just to leave you alone. But I'm telling you, if you snub your nose at him long enough and act like you don't need him and don't want what he's got to say, he'll give you what you do want. There ain't no doubt about it. That he gave them mercy. He showed them mercy a lot, just like he has us.
Brother Keith, there's enough down in the Bible that illustrates exactly what you're teaching, and that's Pharaoh. Because you read in there where it says God
Amen.
And then God responds to that and hardens his heart, where at one time Pharaoh still had a choice, and then he didn't have a choice.
That's right.
He gave
Pharaoh and all those Egyptian people down there chance after chance after chance through Moses and Aaron. But they just kept rejecting it. So finally God hardens a man's heart. Y'all understand this principle? This is important, because the same thing can happen to you. You sit in a church where Sunday after Sunday after Sunday you hear the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, and then you act like, well, I don't need that. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. He ought not say that. And get up and walk out with your hardness of heart, then you can get in a lot of trouble that way. You can wind up blind and deceived off in some place where all you get in every Sunday is a lie. It can happen. All right, go back to Mark chapter 4. The Lord knew and understood these people that he's ministering to, and he knew there were people there who did want it. And he said to them, he said to that bunch that wanted it, to you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, because you want it. But this other bunch that doesn't want it, that's closed their eyes and stopped up their ears, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. But it's because they didn't want it. They didn't want it. Now let's look on down here, verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? What that shows me is that just because you do want the truth doesn't mean that you will always understand the truth. But at least if you want the truth, God has opportunity to reveal to you the truth, to help you understand maybe something you don't understand. Because here's the thing. Nobody on this earth knows everything there is to know about the Bible, right? Nobody does. Now, me personally, I would love to know everything that there is to know about the Bible, wouldn't you? I wish I had explanation for every verse, every jot, every tittle, knew everything about it. I want that truth. But just because I want it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to always understand it. Because there's a whole lot in here I don't understand. But my lack of understanding is not because I don't want to understand. And that's the big difference. Just because you want to know the truth and you want to understand it doesn't necessarily mean that you will understand it right away. There's things that I read in the Bible and prayed about and studied, and it was years before the Lord gave me clarity on that thing. And there's still stuff now that I've been praying about for years, and I'm asking the Lord to show me because I don't really understand it. But here's the thing. At least if you're open to the truth and open to God showing you the truth, there's opportunity for him to do that. It's when you get this mindset that you don't want it that you get in trouble. That's where you get in trouble. So he says to them, know ye not this parable? Don't you understand this? And these were the ones who wanted it. Who, as he said, it was given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. There's going to be some stuff if you live to be 100 years old, which most of us probably won't, but just say you live to be 100 and you've read your Bible for 50 or 60 years, 70 years, whatever the case, I can promise you when they lower you beneath the sod, there'll still be stuff in this Bible you don't understand. That's just the way it is. But I want to be in my life at all times to where if God gets ready to show me something, he can show that to me. I'm open to him showing it to me. I want to be at that place in my life. I know I'll never be where I'm going to understand everything, but I want to be at a place where God, if he gets ready, then I'm ready to receive that. That's where I want to be, and that's where we need to be. But then in verse 14, he begins the explanation of the parable. I can see now we're not going to get through all of this. Really, I think probably the best thing for me just to kind of give you some general thoughts about this parable here, and then next Sunday we'll start getting into it, into more of the specifics. But if you look at this parable, there's three main things that are key. You have the sower, that's the one sowing the seed, and then you have the seed itself, and then you have the soil. Those are the three things that are key in this parable. You got a sower, that's somebody that's spreading the seed. And then you got seed, because a sower has got to have seed to sow, right? So you got the sower, you got the seed, and then you got the soil, the place where the seed winds up. And those are the three main things that you're going to see. One thing that you're going to notice, I'm going to try to point it out as we go through this, is that all of the people, they're represented by the soil. All of the people have opportunity to hear. Every last one of them has opportunity to hear. Look at it real quick, verse 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, look at verse 16, middle of the verse, who when they have heard, look at verse 18, such as hear the word. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. All of them hear it, right? But only one out of the four does the right thing with it. Only one out of the four. One group out of the four groups that are talked about in this parable right here actually do what they're supposed to with the word. They all get to hear it. But only one group. One out of four. That means the majority that hear the word are not going to do what's right with it. The majority. And I don't mean just a slight majority. I'm talking about the vast majority. When you're talking about one out of four, that's three-fourths that don't do what is right with what they hear from the word of God. That's not just a minor. That's what we would describe as the vast majority are not going to do what's right. It's just in keeping with what you read in other places in the Bible. The majority of people in this world are not going to get saved. Right? The majority are not. The majority of those people who do get saved are not going to wind up doing what they need to with the truth they're given. That's why you can have a group of people and they're all hearing the same truth week after week, but there's just a small handful that actually are in tune and plugged in and trying to do something for God. Just a small handful. Y'all remember Brother Lee Cadenhead preaching about the church within the church? He's talking about that little remnant of people within the church that's actually doing what they should with the truth they hear. And that's basically how it is, isn't it? Just that small handful. Everybody has the opportunity that comes to hear, but not everybody's going to do what's right with what they hear. In fact, the majority are not going to do what's right. The problem that we're going to see in this thing is not with the sower, and the problem's not with the seed. The problem was with the soil. That's where the problem is. And we're going to get on into this thing next week and compare it with the other passages and try to get a better understanding of what this thing's about. Do you have any questions about what we looked at here today? Any questions? He just, that's right, that's right. That's, yes, yes. The mindset of I'll just get saved whenever I want to, really, the Lord has to deal with the person for them to get saved. And if the Lord stops dealing with the person, I don't believe they're going to get saved. So it's important that when a person is dealt with, that they respond. All right, we'll take a break.